When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ben, and we're hanging out here with Scott. Scott, I want to play, before we get into this, a little bit of a game with you.
Okay.
All right. Name that tune. Ready?
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Da-na-da-na-da-na-da-na-da-na-da.
Ghostbusters.
Oh, man. I was getting to that I Ain't Afraid of No Ghost part. Oh, you're good.
No, I know it, though. Yeah, I know it. And I kind of had a feeling that's what it was right from the beginning, because I know what we're talking about today.
We were talking about not something ghost-like itself. We're not talking about ghosts.
No, not ghosts.
But we are talking about something related.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people, when Ghostbusters came out, they thought the car in Ghostbusters was a hearse.
That's right.
How right or wrong would you say they were?
They were 50% right.
They were 50% right. Maybe we should leave that tidbit and go into that later.
Sure.
What is a hearse?
What's a hearse? Well, a hearse, quite simply, I mean, we're probably all familiar with what a hearse looks like, I would think.
Yeah.
What a hearse does really is it carries a casket, a body, from the funeral parlor to the graveyard.
Very specific use.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes they're used for transport as well. They may have to go to the morgue and pick up a body and bring it to the funeral parlor. So there's occasions where it's used for, you know, other runs. You'll see them on the road when they're not part of a funeral procession.
Okay.
But for the most part, you know, that's the main purpose, is to carry bodies to and fro.
So why do we need hearses then? I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that can carry a body.
The main reason is that you got to admit, when you see a hearse, it's a very elegant looking vehicle.
Oh yes.
Very stately. And that's all part of a kind of a grand ceremony, a feel that, you know, there's something important happening, and that's, you know, a funeral is very important. It's mm-hmm. grim circumstance, but it is a ceremony, and these are kind of a very dignified way to handle that.
That's the word I was going to use.
Yeah. So that's the main purpose behind this, is that it's just a stately way to carry a body.
And you know, let's not age ourselves too much here, but I'm fairly sure that as long as the two of us have been around, hearses have been in popular culture, right? People know about hearses.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's a lot of use. You'll see hot rod hearses. You'll see drag racing hearses.
Mm-hmm.
Hearses that are just rusty and falling apart that people still drive around. You'll see them in fields.
Rat rod hearses.
I have seen one rat rod hearse, yeah. Not in person, but mm-hmm. I would love to. They're a lot of bands use hearses to carry equipment sometimes. Of course, not in use hearses.
Right.
They get them used from funeral parlors or on eBay or wherever you find them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of uses. And really, when you think about it, they're a lot like a station wagon. So it makes sense. And if you can get past the the mysterious nature of it.
Right. And, if you can get past the atmosphere or the way society regards them.
That's right. Yeah, they are a bit scary to some people, and the reason, and I've been thinking about this, why is a hearse scary?
Ooh, good question. And,
well, I think the reason is because it's a symbol of death. I think that, you know, that's automatically what you think of when you see a hearse, right?
Sure.
And that's a little bit scary to people, most people anyway. So I think that's really the kind of the root of the whole thing, is that it's a symbol of death.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Now, I know something that you want me to bring this up or not? But
well, yeah, go ahead.
You have a friend. You've experienced something I haven't here. You have been in a hearse before, right?
But yes.
Riding in the front seat.
Mm-hmm.
I never have. So tell me about this hearse that you were in.
Well, okay. A friend of mine, back in the days of yore, when people like me went to high school, or people my age went to high school, friend of mine had happened upon a used hearse, got a pretty good deal on it from the funeral home in our town, which interestingly enough I worked at for 2 weeks.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, well, not hearse involved, and no. I was on the bottom rung. I'm not going to go into details.
We'll talk more about this later.
Yeah, maybe
that's very interesting.
Oh yeah, well, I'm glad I did it. So from this same funeral home, this guy procures a used beat up hearse. Basically, they had told him, you know, they already had, I'm not going to say a fleet, but they probably had two or three that were already running.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, he basically got the deal that if he fixed it, he could have it for a relatively tidy sum. And he did it, and he painted it up. You know, it wasn't in the best shape. It certainly wasn't as clean or as efficient as, you know, a professional working hearse, but man, was he popular!
I think that is awesome. I would love to have a hearse. I think it would be really cool. Yeah, I mean, I know it's a little bit, you know, a little creepy, a little strange, but I wouldn't be the type though to display, you know, skulls in the window and that
sure.
type of thing. There's a different level to this. I mean, you know, a lot of the sites that you go to, unfortunately, are the ones that have that type of image. So if you try to find some images of hearses,
mm-hmm.
The clubs and things, a lot of them are kind of like that little tongue-in-cheek type stuff, you know.
Right. Why wouldn't you paint it green or something, you know? Or,
or
paint it a different color to get it away from that, maybe.
And we even mentioned a few hearses that we've seen that have been on monster truck frames.
Yeah.
You know, I see them here and there. I see at least a couple a year. Which is really strange to me. I don't know why that's a popular vehicle to do that to, but it is. So, you know, the body is 6 feet up in the air.
Right.
Strange look. But, you know, there are groups of people. You know, one is the professional car organization, and professional cars, that's what they call these cars. I should say that up front, that hearses are known in the industry as professional cars.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a group that... well, professionalcar.org, and if you want to see some, you know, images of hearses that are being well maintained and, you know, restored, and you know, some really unique variety, I guess you
just
want
singular
to see.
Vehicles.
Yeah, that's right. It's really an interesting site to go to. And again, there's a, you know, we have a How Hearses Work article on our site, and there's a link to that site at the end of it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
yeah,
a great resource.
It's worth looking into. Yeah,
before we go, speaking of looking into things, Scott, before we go into closer examination of the modern hearses,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've got to pump you for information on this. They didn't start out that way, right?
No.
Which came first, hearses or automobiles?
Oh, I guess technically hearses did, but they weren't really called hearses. That's the strange thing about this. Same purpose, but they were horse-drawn carriages or coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're covered. You've probably seen these before. They're big, very ornately carved wooden boxes with windows, oftentimes with, or maybe not, with curtains hanging from them. They're just really, really decorative. A lot of times they're painted black.
Mm-hmm.
Those have been around since the 1700s. So they've been around a long, long time. And really the first hearses were really just kind of blending the automobile with that design. So you see a lot of the original hearses, the very, very first hearses with that extremely boxy square back end. And it kind of makes sense. I mean, it's taking the new technology and the old you know,
sort of marrying the two.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we can talk about how they kind of developed, if you'd like.
Oh yes, please.
Well, what's interesting is that the very first hearse was actually electric.
Really?
Yeah, it was electric, which is strange. But when you look back at the history of the automobile, you'll see that a lot of the first automobiles were electric as well. So that makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah. What year though? What year was this?
1895 is what we're talking about here.
No way.
That's the first motorized, self-propelled vehicle that was used for that purpose.
Okay.
So later, as the internal combustion engine kind of came in, you know, mm-hmm. into play, that's when. Well, I think it was right around 1909 when that happened. You know, that kind of revolutionized things. That made it available that, you know, you could put this hearse body on the back of a Model T. You could put it on the back of whatever vehicle was being produced at the time. You know, we've talked about how many car companies there were.
Oh yeah.
I assume there were just a ton of different varieties of this. Now, at first, I mean, the very first hearse, I should say, was, you know, used for a few different funerals, and people thought it was really great. And, you know, the wealthy people said, hey, I want this instead of that horse-drawn thing that I've been in. We want this for our funeral as well. And it gained popularity and, you know, built momentum. And it was very expensive, you know, for the day. I think they said that a horse-drawn carriage type of hearse would cost something like $1,500, whereas one of these motorized hearses would be something in the neighborhood of like $6,000.
Wow!
So it was a significant investment for the funeral director, but might have paid off. You know, if you got a wealthier clientele that wanted this kind of this treatment.
Sure, I imagine so.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
so that I thought that was pretty interesting. And then mm-hmm. One other thing that I found out is that this is really strange. Early on, it was not uncommon for the undertaker to also own a furniture shop or a hardware store. And that's, you know, kind of been the way it has been, I guess, for a while here in the South even. And
man.
Yeah, I know.
No, I think I see where you're going with this, but go on.
Okay, well, the first hearses then were kind of this big vehicle that could also serve as a delivery truck for the furniture company.
Holy crap. No, I didn't see.
You didn't know you were going there. Okay,
yeah.
So yeah, the hearses were marketed to them to say, you know, this could be a hearse, this could also be a delivery vehicle for you.
So you can carry a wardrobe one day and a casket the next?
That's right. Now, do you have a guess as to why a furniture salesperson might also be the undertaker?
Because they make caskets?
That's right.
See, okay, that's where I thought.
Yeah, and hardware, of course, it kind of makes sense a little bit that, you
right.
know, a lot of hardware involved in a casket.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and they said that, you know, that's kind of, some of these still exist in the South. I haven't seen one ever. We're down in the South, and I've never seen one of these. But
yeah, well, you know, we're in an urban center, which mm-hmm. a lot of people outside of Atlanta would say that Atlanta doesn't count as the South any more than Miami, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. So progressing through here so we can get to this is the 1930s. That was when, so let's say from 1909 to the 1930s. In the 1930s, that's when the first Landau-style hearses appeared. Now, Landau is the type of hearse that you're probably familiar with right now because that's the style that's popular even now. The back end of the vehicle doesn't have any extreme rear windows. There's a panel that covers it, and it usually has what they call a Landau bar.
Oh, yeah, I'm tracing it in the air, but it's...
Looks like an S.
Yes.
Kind of an odd shape.
A stylized S.
Yeah, that's right. And that design element, that bar that we're talking about, actually comes from... It resembles a Landau-style hearse. I'm sorry, Landau-style coach from the 1800s. And that was the design of the hinge that brought the canopy back over the coach.
Oh.
So it's this really old...
Yeah,
really, really old design or style that comes from that time period or element, I should say. I thought that was pretty unique.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Interesting that's where that came from because you still see that today.
So Landau, so now it seems that they're still the dominant style.
The Landau style, it definitely is. Yeah, that's right. And well, another thing is that in the 1930s and 1960s, this Landau style was, of course, still. Mm-hmm. There, I mean, that's when it began in the 30s, but there were combination vehicles in that time period between the 1930s and the 1960s, and the strange thing is that they had these Landau panels on the back that could be some vehicles did
uh-huh.
that could be removed. So when the vehicle was in service as an ambulance, You could take off the back panel. It didn't look like a hearse that was, you know, coming up to pick you up. It looked like an ambulance that was coming to pick you up. It had a window behind that panel.
That's refreshing. That would make me feel more optimistic.
Yeah, I would think so. So these combination vehicles that were, you know, served as ambulance and hearse were popular for a good 30 years in the United States. And what's really kind of strange about this, and I didn't know this before reading this, was that the funeral director also was the person that ran the ambulance service in town. And that kind of made sense. You know, it was just a way to make a little extra money.
You know, more and more, it seems like one thing we're learning in this episode is that funeral directors and undertakers are entrepreneurial.
Yeah, they're very resourceful, aren't they?
Yeah.
Make do with it. That's right.
And I mean that as a compliment.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So where else do we go with the evolution of hearses?
You know, we said that, you know, until the 1960s, that was when these combination vehicles were around.
Yes.
And that's the Ghostbusters vehicle that we talked about. That vehicle is a combination vehicle. That's exactly what we're talking about. Those long, they look like a great big station wagon. You know, sometimes they're used as an ambulance, sometimes they're used as a hearse.
Wow.
So that type of vehicle is very, very popular among collectors. And
going back to the beginning, if we guessed it was a hearse, we were 50% right.
That's right. Yeah, because half the time it was being used as a hearse.
Man.
Half the time it was an ambulance. And, of course, there's a lot of unique hardware that went along with that. You know, of course, there are fold-out seats and, you know, attachments for oxygen bottles and
medical
tables.
Medical equipment.
Yeah, so. Medical equipment. But, of course, that's unnecessary when you have a casket in the back. So all of that has to either go away or somehow fold into the load floor.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could do that. They're very functional.
And so what are some unique features, would you say, about a hearse?
Well, I think maybe the biggest thing is the back end, of course.
Okay.
You know, they're unusual. They're long vehicles. They're usually made from Cadillacs or you know, Buicks or, you know, I'm trying to think of what are some other
Other larger ones.
Yeah, they're just big cars, really.
They're made from the boats.
Yeah, they're made
from land boats.
Gigantic cars. Yeah.
Okay.
And really, what they do is they cut a car in half and they, you know. Well, the body, I should say,
uh-huh.
and they add kind of this long center section really to it. There's probably there's a lot more to it than that, of course.
Right.
And nowadays they're fiberglass, and, you know, it's a little bit easier, but back then they made, you know, the metal bodies, and it was just really stretching a big car.
Wow.
But they were not made from the factory that way. You know, Chevrolet never made a hearse. Ford never made a hearse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, you know, if you had a Lincoln hearse,
uh-huh.
it was not made by Ford. It was, you know, the vehicle, the donor vehicle was a Ford.
Like the town car or something.
Yeah, that's right. And you'd send it somewhere and have it done to a company that makes hearses. And there are still companies around that do that. There's, in fact, the oldest one in the United States, I believe, is AccuBuilt.
AccuBuilt.
Yeah, AccuBuilt. And I think they've been around since 1876.
1876.
Yeah, that's right. So they started back in the horse-drawn carriage days, and they still make hearses.
Well, congratulations to them. They must be doing a good job.
Yeah,
then.
Must be. I think. Well, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, a lot of them are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But AccuBuilt, for whatever reason, has really hung in there.
Man.
Yeah. And so now, I guess we can get back to you. I'm sorry, I got away from your topic.
No.
What makes them really unique is that back end.
Okay.
And if you've ever looked inside one, there's a load floor.
Yeah.
It's up higher than the wheels, so it's very flat back there.
There's no wheel wells intruding in the storage space.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it's like, you know, the truck, you would see that, but a pickup truck, you'd see that, but it's not the case in a hearse. It's flat back there. And they have rollers on the floor so that, you know, once the casket goes on in place, they can roll all the way to the front and roll all the way to the back. It helps, you know, get the casket inside. And there's also something they call... hang on one second. I'll come up with it. But
okay.
They're pins that they secure this in place, and they're called beer pins.
Beer pins.
Yeah, it's
like
spelled
B-E-E-I-R.
No, B-I-E-R.
Oh.
But beer pins, which really all that is just a pin that fits into a slot that that holds the casket in place while it's in travel, so that it doesn't slide, you know, fore and aft, and, you know.
And that's very necessary.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
because I guess caskets are.
Oh, good.
Oh, caskets are how long?
Oh, well.
About,
I'm guessing close to 8 feet,
yeah,
if not
yeah.
8 feet.
More than 6 feet, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, I bet they're longer than that.
And then we have to estimate there's a certain margin of space between the front seat and the door, the rear door,
yeah.
right? So they have to have those pins.
Yeah, and these cars that we're talking about are enormous. So, I mean,
yeah.
if you can carry something that long in the back with, you know, and shut the door and of room for the driver. I mean, it's just, they're enormous. These mm-hmm. cars are huge. And kind of crazy thing about the load floor, a lot of these, you know, they have extenders that will slide out. You know, some of the new ones do. That helps as well. In the past, now those are, they have rear loading, or they call them end loaders, which there's one big door in the back that opens up, you know, swings to the side, and you can load in that way.
Uh-huh.
Long time ago, they had side loading cars where the load floor would kind of would slide forward or back, I guess, mm-hmm. and you could pull the end towards the driver out towards you on the curbside. So if the vehicle's parked on the curb,
uh-huh.
Let's say you're parked in front of the church, and as the body exits the church, it goes to the side of the vehicle rather than to the back of the vehicle. And load floor swings out just slightly so that you're able to load it onto that platform, slide it in, and then kind of work it back into the car. And it's on this kind of a Y-shaped track. And the purpose was that in the, you know, I don't know, early days, I should say, you know, 20s, 30s, a lot of roads weren't paved. And, you know, you didn't want to have the people, they're carrying the casket, walking through the mud at the back of the car.
I see.
And you would, you know, depending on how the person parked, I guess you would almost always have to walk in this slippery, muddy environment, and it just wasn't safe. And, you know, a lot of bad things could happen. So, yeah.
So okay, not to sound too poetic here, but mm-hmm. it sounds like the evolution of hearses is also a story of really adaptation.
And that's right.
Even more so than innovation. Yeah.
Oh, and one other thing I wanted to mention, Ben, is that there was something called a flower car for a while in history, in this this funeral history, I guess.
What's a flower car, Scott?
Flower car, you know what? You may never have even seen one of these. You'd have to look it up just to see one.
Uh-huh.
They're pretty interesting. It's a lot like the size of a hearse. Okay, imagine that.
Okay.
Okay, so it's still built on a Cadillac, still built on the Buick or Lincoln or whatever, you know, the big luxury vehicle.
I'm with you.
Okay, have you ever seen an El Camino?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Now that's a terrible, you know, comparison, I guess, because we're talking about a great big Cadillac or a great big Lincoln or whatever.
Sure.
But you know that it has that open back end. It looks like a truck almost, right?
Yes.
That's what a flower car looks like, only Cadillac version of that. And the reason that it was used, and this is really just strictly utility. I mean, it was had a very specific purpose, and it's an expensive way to get flowers from the funeral parlor to the gravesite. So you would load all of the graveside
uh-huh.
flowers into this flower car, and it was open on the top, so it was this very, you know, it would almost be arranged in the back.
I see.
To make one big, well, the whole bed would be filled with flowers.
One gigantic arrangement of flowers.
That's right, and then that would be part of your funeral procession.
Part of the funeral, yeah.
Yeah, and that was just added to the, you know, the ceremony. I mean, it was more of a, even that much more of an elegant affair. And these cars, I mean, I've seen reports that, you know, there were $45,000-$50,000 cars that, you know, were strictly used for carrying flowers back and forth. They initially didn't have the size capability to also work as body transport, and they didn't have covers. Some of them didn't have covers.
I see.
Now, later that changed. You know, they made higher sides on them.
Uh-huh.
They were able to carry bodies, even if it was just transport, not necessarily to the gravesite, but from maybe the morgue to the funeral parlor.
Sure.
So they were made a little more purpose-built later, or useful later.
Yeah.
But pretty much that's gone away. And from what I hear, that was really just an East Coast and Canadian thing. It really didn't spread much farther than that, which is really strange to me. I don't know why the East Coast and Canada, that was a popular thing to have as part of your funeral package that you could offer.
Yeah.
So, again, that's called a flower car, and definitely look it up. It's worth checking out. They're really unique
it
cars.
Seems an interesting chapter in the story.
Yeah, and they're very rare.
I've got one pretty cool one before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
If you had a hearse, what would you do with it?
If I had a hearse, I probably would be one that would restore it to original condition.
Oh, yeah.
If I had the money, I'd like to do that. And because I've just seen too many crazy hearses. Now, if it was already in rat rod condition,
uh-huh.
oh boy,
you know,
oh yeah, that would be cool. But or if it's close to that, but
you would take that baby the whole nine yards.
Yeah, that's right. Now, if it was restorable, if it was close uh-huh. to that, I would keep it in original condition. Yeah.
You know what I would do?
What would you do?
I would get one that was one of the combination ambulances from the Ghostbusters. I mean, look, you saw this coming. Or I would spend all my time trying to make it as much like that as possible because I have seen too many movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess that, does that wrap it up for us?
Yeah, I guess so. I, by the way, I love that style. I think that's a cool, that's
oh,
cool
man.
Car.
We would be so, we would be the awesomest people in this office.
Of course. Yeah. We already are.
Yeah. Well, we've got some great colleagues to work with.
Of course.
And we've got some great listeners, one of whom was nice enough to send us some listener mail.
That's right. We've got listener mail from Courtney. All right. Courtney wrote in and she said that, she read the blog and she said that she read about the Prius, how it doesn't have any belts. It's a beltless engine. Okay, so yeah. The 2010 Prius is a beltless engine. And that made her kind of think, hey, I wonder what other car parts or pieces are manufacturers trying to get rid of? What are they trying to develop out of the vehicle? You know, make it easier for us and, I don't know, simpler, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very good question. So she said that, you know, it also reminded her of things of the past that have gone away, like carburetors. Which was also a good point. And, it's funny. I just was editing an article for our site about in-wheel electric motors. And the cool thing about in-wheel electric motors is that you can do away with the engine, the transmission, a lot of the braking components, the axles. You can do away with a lot of elements that are normally there. I mean, you're talking about getting rid of the engine, Ben.
Yeah.
So, things like that are on the way. Maybe we'll, you know, investigate this a little deeper and see if we can do a podcast on it.
That's a great idea.
Or, you know, future blog or something like that. Yeah. I think that was a good question. So thank you, Courtney. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And let's see, you got anything else?
I guess all we have to do now. Oh, I guess I should say thank you as well, Courtney. We love the listener mail. And to our listeners out there, thanks so much. Hope you enjoyed learning a little bit about hearses with two of us. And if you have any ideas for a future topic or episode, please follow Courtney's example and send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah.
Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.